Okay, so that was kind of a long Bible reading. And most people know John 3:16 by heart. And quite a few people don't know the whole story between Jesus and Nicodemus by heart. Nicodemus comes in the dead of night to Jesus at the time of the Passover. Jesus had already gone into Jerusalem, and that day he had gone to the temple. And when he got there, he found men who were selling animals for sacrifice. And you know what Jesus did. He turned over the tables and coins flew everywhere. And John tells us that while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs that Jesus was doing and they believed in him. So that's the context for Nicodemus's visit with Jesus under the shroud of darkness. While the rest of the world slumbered, Nicodemus got up and he put on his cloak and he ventured out to meet this traveling teacher, miracle worker guy. Why did he come at night? Nicodemus, remember, is a member of the Jewish ruling council. And he says, "We know that you are a teacher who has come from God." Think about those conversations that must have already been going on in the Jewish ruling council after Jesus has come into the temple and flipped everything over and has been doing miracles and people are starting to follow him and question the temple establishment. We know that you are from God. Because the miracles that Jesus was doing could only be done by someone who had God with him. Now, I wonder why Nicodemus came to talk with Jesus. Maybe he wanted to be certain about his position when he was talking with the council. Maybe he wanted to talk to Jesus and get him to pipe down a little bit and stop acting out so much. Maybe he was hungry for more. He'd risen to the top of the Jewish faith, but maybe he still ached for more. For a relationship with God that was more. Hang on a minute. I tried a new thing with my tape. It didn't work. But maybe it was a combination of the three. Jesus says, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless that person is born again." Nicodemus hears Jesus' words and his reaction is sort of odd. He asks, "How could that even be possible? A grown man can't be born again from his mother's womb." Now, you have to understand that Nicodemus heard a lot more than we hear when he heard those Greek words, "born again." Because the word we translate "again" doesn't have a good Greek-English translation. "Again" can mean to do something for the second time, like we think of "again." But it also can mean from above, from God. You have to be born from God. And it can also mean completely or radically. So you have to be born a second time from God, completely, radically. And Nicodemus heard all of that in that little word "again." So how is it that we can be born into doing God's will perfectly on earth? Because every person, Jesus is saying, needs to undergo a radical change, a complete change, something that is completely new in their soul, that can be described as born all over again. And it's not something that we can do. It's something that comes from the power of God. William Barclay posits that Nicodemus really didn't want to understand Jesus. He heard this "born again," "born a second time," "born from God," "born completely," and he went, I don't really want to do that much. I don't want my life to change that much. He knew that Jesus was a messenger from God. He was curious, and he had come out in the dark of night. But he didn't want his life to be any different when the light of day came. So Jesus says, "You can't stay in the darkness. You have to emerge from the darkness and the comfort of the womb. You have to establish a life outside. Jesus says no one can enter the kingdom of God unless that person is born of water and the Spirit. The birth of water the refers to baptism, but what does that birth of Spirit mean? The word for Spirit in Hebrew and in Greek is in both ruach and pneuma, means wind and means Spirit. And so Jesus is using a play on words here. He says the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it is coming from or where it is going. The Spirit is the same way. You can't control the Spirit. It blows wherever it wants to. You can't tell it where to come from or where to go. But if you put your finger up, you can tell which way the wind is blowing, can't you? The Spirit's the same way. If we pay attention, we can tell which way the Spirit is blowing. And we can for sure tell where the Spirit has been, just like we can tell where the wind has been. Well, at this point in the conversation, Nicodemus is upset. He all his life, he's done everything right. He's been a Pharisee. He's been a good Jew. He's followed the law. He was thankful for being born part of God's chosen family. He was a leader in the temple. With the same fervor that we sing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, he has sung about the steadfast love of God for God's people Israel. Mine! And now Jesus is telling him that to see the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. And he hears more than what we hear, because he hears that this family of God thing doesn't come from your parents. It doesn't come from your birth as a birthright. It comes from God, to whom God chooses to be a part of the family. He's always known exactly who the family was. It was quite controlled. And now all of a sudden, Jesus is saying, that birth is not the birth that defines God's family. God chooses. You have to have a birth through the Spirit to enter the kingdom of God. Ooh, that's a hard lesson for Nicodemus. That's hard for Nicodemus. He'd been a religious leader, and he'd been able to judge and to pronounce God's blessing and God's condemnation. And to hear that you can tell which way the wind is blowing if you want to know where it might go, you can tell where it's been, but you can't control it? So Nicodemus, in the middle of the night, with his cloak on, looks at Jesus and he sighs and he says, how can this be? How can this be? His whole worldview is coming crashing around him. And Jesus responds with the story that Nicodemus knows well. The story of the bronze snake. Now, how many of you know the story of the bronze snake by heart? A few of you know it a little bit. Okay, so it's in Numbers 21. Okay? In Numbers 21, we have the story of the bronze snake. It's a great story. Israel was in the wilderness. They were on the route to the Red Sea, and they were going the long way. They were taking a long cut, is what my kids call it. Instead of a shortcut, they were taking the long cut, because that's pretty much the way Mom always drives. We take the long cut. They were taking the long cut around Edom. Because, see, they'd already come to Edom, and they'd said, hey, you know, we need to kind of go through here. And Edom had a huge army, and they said, you're not coming through here. You have to go around. So they were going on a long cut, the long way around. And while they were going on the long way around toward the Red Sea, they were hungry, and they were thirsty, and they were tired. And what happens when a three-year-old has not had a nap? They whine, right? And they had begun to act like a three-year-old without a nap. And they went to Moses, and they said, why did we leave Egypt anyway? Right? We're hungry, and we're tired of this manna that God gives us every day. It's really not that good, and we don't like quail anymore either. Right? And then Moses' brother Aaron dies, and that's bad too. And they're going, look, I mean, the one who could talk died, so now we don't even have a good orator as our leader. We have to follow you around, and now we're going on a long cut around Edom. Great. Right? So in the midst of this, Moses is, thank God, really. I told you I didn't want to lead him in the first place. Now I don't have Aaron that you said I could have to help me. And God sends venomous snakes. And a bunch of people get bitten and they die. And suddenly the people go, okay, we're sorry. We didn't mean to not be grateful. We're sorry. We did not. Please, we repent. And so God tells Moses, make a snake out of bronze and put it on a pole. And anyone who has been bitten by one of those venomous snakes can look at it and they will not die. They will live. So Moses makes a bronze snake and he puts it on a pole, and anyone who is bitten by a snake looked at it and they lived. And Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. It's a rich, multi-layer metaphor that puts into words what is really beyond words. What comes to mind when you think of snakes in the Bible? All the way back, the Garden of Eden, right? And sin, it's bitten us. And its venom kills us. So the Son of Man must be lifted up like a snake on a pole. Remember, this conversation happens just before the Passover, just before, a few days before Jesus is going to be crucified. And Nicodemus is a leader, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He knows that they are plotting to have Jesus crucified. And here Jesus says, remember that snake on the pole? Anyone who is bitten by sin and looks at Jesus lifted high on the cross has what we translate as eternal life. William Barclay wrote about this life, that eternal life, who really has eternal life? It's not about duration. It's about the life of God. God can be the only one described as truly being eternal. And when we look at that snake on the pole, when we look at Jesus on the cross, we gain the life of God. Life the way God meant it to be. Clearly, a man can only enter into a close communion and fellowship with God when we relinquish ourselves to that kind of love. When we have that openness and we are reverent and devoted. And that is the only way for that relationship to start, to be born again, to come out of the darkness into the light. It's to look at the cross. God so loved the world that we are saved by grace. The grace of God lifted high on the cross through faith. It's not because we know so much. When we raise our hands because we know the story of the bronze snake, we don't gain any brownie points. It's not because we know so much. It's not because of the things we've done. It's not because of the words we've said. It's because we trust. We place our trust in the cross. We are saved by grace through faith. We are born to life in God. God, the kind of life that God lives, because God loves us when we trust. Lift high the cross, and may we proclaim the love of Christ. Amen.